Let's stand to our feet this morning, church, if we would, while we read the first chapter and that of the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. What a wonderful love story that the book of Ruth truly is. It is a type. And that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Boaz as the kinsman redeemer and Ruth as a Gentile outsider that was brought into the nation of Israel. And by the way, let me say this before I get any further. We're going to find that Ruth gets in because of Naomi and Elimelech's backslid condition. Do you realize that? Had they never went down to Moab, Ruth would have never got into the lineage of Christ, never got into the nation of Israel. And if we look at Romans chapter 11, had it not been in that for the backslidden condition and that of the nation of Israel, friend, we'd have never got in the way that we got in. Amen? And I believe there's a lot of types that we can see through here. But I want to read out of Ruth chapter 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. There's 22 verses, and we'll try to be very timely this morning. God being our helper. Verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of the two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, and ye have as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be with your that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, here we find the very first mention that Naomi realizes the shape that she's in. Do you realize that? She said, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law and Ruth. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and where there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What love Ruth had for her mother-in-law. I mean, she did not want to leave Naomi at all. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. What a great joy that it is, and that to be in your house. But now, Lord, for just a little while, would you please touch us and help us? God, I don't know how to. Lord, I'm like Solomon. I don't even know how to come in and go out. And Lord, as we look at this message, we just I want to preach what you've give us this morning. And God, I'm just depending on you and looking to heaven and that for some help this morning. God, we certainly just want you to come and touch us and anoint us afresh as you have many times before, God, that I know that it was your touch. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for saving us and keeping us and watching over us. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless this message. Help some folk get some encouragement out of it. Get right with you this morning that might be wrong. God, they just might be wrong with you. I pray they might get right with you. And I pray now that you'd help us to preach. Save somebody that's here lost this morning. God, I pray that you'd just come by and speak to their hearts by old-time Holy Spirit conviction. And help us this morning. Help us to preach now in spirit and in truth. And God, that you'd help us to worship the same way. Now touch and anoint us afresh and save that sinner's newest day up for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. As I said before, the book of Ruth is a lovely book. If you take time to read it, there ain't but four chapters we find Ruth. And that in the lineage of Christ. If you go over to the book of Matthew, you'll find that the Lord and that worked her in. If I'm not mistaken, her and Boaz had Obed, which had Jesse, and then Jesse had King David. Amen. So you'll find her and that in the lineage of Christ. But I want to preach this morning with the thought and with a title of the message entitled on talking about a rough 10 years. Talking about a rough 10 years. And you'll understand that here in a minute if you ain't already figured it out. In this chapter, by way of introduction, I want you to see that it was a time when the judges ruled. If you look in verse 1, man does not have a king at this time. But it's a time when judges and that ruled in the nation of Israel. Let's just go back to Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Just the book before the book of Ruth. And look what it says in the very last verse of this book. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, one of the worst things that me and you can ever do is to do what is right in our own eyes. Did you know that most of the time we'll mess it up, won't we? We'll foul it up every time. We'll get it wrong every time if we don't have something besides us ruling in our life. And by the way, the Bible said it was a time when the judges ruled. Now listen, the Bible said right here, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but there was a famine in the land. And as I studied this, I wondered why there was a famine in the land. Hey, it's a time when the judges ruled, when the nation of Israel would be wrong with God for a while, and God would send captivity, and God would send judgment, and that to the nation of Israel, and they would get right with God. I kind of wonder if this famine wasn't sin, and that to move Israel to get right with God. I can't prove that, but I kind of wonder that when I read it. And so the Bible said that Elimelech, Naomi, Chilion, and Mahlon, they leave, and that Bethlehem, Judah. Now I want you to understand something. I'm going to come back to this here in a minute. But the name Bethlehem means house of bread. Now the Bible said that there is a famine in the land. But they're leaving a place that is entitled the house of bread. That's very important. Why is that? What did Naomi say? And this is what I'm going to preach on here in a minute. Over there in verses 22 or verse 23. Verse 23 I believe it is. Where she said, I went up full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The Bible said there was a famine in the land. They're leaving Bethlehem, Judah, a city that is named for the house of bread, and they're leaving there thinking they can find something better. Can I tell you by way of introduction still that they had no business in the land of Moab? Moab was started in that by the incestuous relationship between Lot and his oldest daughter over there in that cave when God had judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, the people of Moab and the people of Ammon come out of those two incestuous relationships, and you'll find in Numbers chapter 25 that it was the daughters of Moab that taught the children of Israel and that how to sacrifice unto false gods and lead them into idolatry. And listen, God wanted them to have nothing to do with Moab. And so here Elimelech and Naomi pack their suitcases and load their trunk up and throw their two boys in the back seat, if you would. And now they go down to the land of Moab. A place that no doubt is different than the land of Israel. This just wasn't a hop and a skip away from where Bethlehem, Judah is. They were either going to have to go north and that go around the Red Sea or come down south and go around the Red Sea and that to get to the land of Moab. So it wasn't like they could journey there in a hop and a skip. They've had to plan for this to go. They've had to map out the direction that they were going to go to get to the land of Moab. Why are you dwelling on this? Hey, because I'm going to tell you, when you leave the house of bread and you leave God and you leave what He wants you to do and you leave the church and you leave church people and you leave God's people, hey, it just didn't happen overnight. You had to plan it. You had to think about it. You had to dwell on it before you done it. Amen. And so they get down there, and the Bible said that these two boys took them some women, and that of Moab. Can I ask you, Mom and Dads, where do you want your children to get their mates from?
Yeah, come on.
I think church is a good place.
Amen.
Amen, not out in the world.
Amen.
You know what I see more, and you know what I see out of trouble more than anything is when a young lady who's in church, she meets a boy that's out in the world or vice versa, and that's the worst thing that can happen. Amen. Because it ain't never going to work. Well, I might win him or win her, but yeah, there's a greater chance that they'll drag you down. You may not believe that, young people, but that's how it works. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, it's hard enough sometimes, and that just to live for God when both of you are trying to live for God, let alone when it's just one of you and the other one is not. And so here they are. They met him some people, and that down in the land of Moab, and took him a mate from there. Elimelech dies, and the Bible said that she's just left of her two sons and that of her two daughters-in-laws. Then her two sons die, and she's just left of her two daughters-in-laws. Naomi, I believe that she had probably done what her husband wanted her to. And if you go back and you look, the Bible said in verse 1, they went to sojourn. In verse 2, they continued there. And by the time it was all said and done, in verse 4, they had dwelt there for 10 years. I believe they just went down there for just a little while. They wanted to be there for just a year or two, a month or two, a week or two. But instead, they were there for 10 years. And things went bad. I'm going to tell you, when you get out of the will of God, things is going to go bad.
Amen.
So, preacher, do you know something that I don't know this morning? No, I'm trying to keep you in the will of God is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep me in the will of God. Listen, for the past 2.5 years, I fought more to keep from quitting and just picking my tool bag back up and going back to work than I ever have in all my life. Sometimes I think it would just be easier to turn a wrench. I think it'd be easier to pull wire. I think it'd be easier to just terminate war and go on. Keeping up. I'd be afraid to get electrocuted. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You touch the wrong wire, man. So what happened? Here they are. They left. Now I want you to look. And here's what I'm going to preach from. Verse 21. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. Empty. Orpha goes back to her mother, but Ruth stays with Naomi. And they go back to Bethlehem, Judah, because they'd heard how God had met with his people. But for 10 years, they were down in the land of Moab. Can I tell you that 10 years is a long time? 10 years is a long, long time. She didn't have to stay down there. The Bible will tell us how long she stayed down there after her husband died. We don't know that. I believe that she might have even been able to talk him out of go back home. As a matter of fact, we don't know when God had shined upon Bethlehem, Judah, in comparison to that 10 years. There might have been a famine in the land, but after they'd been down there for 3 years and got settled in out of where they were at, God might have shined on Bethlehem.
Amen. Judah.
We don't know. We read it as if when she got ready to leave, that's when it happened, but I really don't believe that's how it works, friend. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, if not all the time, it's always better where you're at than where it is somewhere else. Amen. As one fellow said, the grass is always greener on the other side, but it might be growing on top of a septic tank.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all will catch that here in just a minute. Number one, this morning I got three things that we kind of just scratched out. And as one preacher said, I'm not begging for your mercies and your prayers so that I could say that I just scratched it out. A lot of them think, well, they're saying that I can do better. As he said, this is all you're going to get. Amen. It's as good as it gets. Can I tell you that when they left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, and by the way, the name Elimelech means God is my king. Now here's a man that should have known who God was. Here's a man that should have loved his family enough. I mean, God is my king is what his name means. And here he goes, and he's going to leave the house of bread. I believe, first of all, they thought they were doing right. Why, they'd have never left if they didn't think they were doing right. Listen, when most folk leave the church, when most folk leave God, when our preacher, I just feel. I hate to hear that. I just feel. I just feel like. Now, I believe there's probably some times that a man, woman, I ought to leave the church. Yeah. If false doctrine is being preached, you ought to leave, amen. If it ain't going to get right. If there's turmoil in there and the pastor ain't going to deal with it, I probably ought to leave, amen. I agree to all of that. But just because it was a little dry. There's a little famine. And by the way, if you look at this, not everybody left Bethlehem, Judah.
That's right.
Why was it then? Why did they bail out? You understand what I'm saying? As soon as it got just the least bit dry and there was a famine in the land, they bailed out. When they got just a little hungry, when food got just a little scarce, they ended up down in Moab where they had no business and that to go. Preacher, it's got a little dry at the church. I can tell you one thing, preacher's in good. If your pastor's in good, he knowed it was dry before you did.
Amen.
Amen. One preacher said, he said, I went to church one night, and he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, a woman brought her beans. Why, I'm going to work in beans on Wednesday night. And he said, I could hear her back there snapping them beans while we were having church. And he said, the sorry part of it was, is her beans had better snap than my preaching did. God help us, ain't that right? Amen. Listen. They pack up. Preacher, it's got a little dry. Your preaching's got a little dry. We're singing them same old songs. Thank God we're singing them same old songs.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. I was talking to a preacher late last night, before he's in his study and I'm sitting in mine. And he said, we're fighting so much. We're fighting so much to maintain old time religion. And we're having to fight against everything else out in the world. I mean, we are. I mean, we're dwindling away, and everywhere a church is blowing and going. And I mean, they got everything under the sun. Come as you are, dress as you are, think as you are, act as you are. Hey, listen, that stuff will go. God ain't interested in that.
Amen.
Amen. He's interested in us obeying the Word of God. But it's dry down to church, preacher. So I think we'll just go for just a little while. Maybe we can find some help. Somewhere else, you know, it's got to be somebody else's fault. Let me ask you something. When you get dry, whose fault is it?
Come on.
I'm being honest this morning.
Come on.
I've only got you. I'm only behind this pulpit for 50 minutes at any given time. See, I was honest about it. I said 50 minutes, not 30. Amen. I was honest. I try to be behind it 30 minutes on Wednesday night, and it don't always work out, but I try. So 50 minutes on Sunday morning and 50 minutes on Sunday night, and we'll say 40 minutes on Wednesday night. Brother Jeff's got most of you adults and that for about 45 minutes on Sunday morning. But all that other time, that's you. That's you and your relationship with God. And but it must be somebody's fault that the church has got dry. It must be. I'm going to tell you, church, and that goes through seasons. We're up for a while, and we're down for a while. I can't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand why church works that way. I'm going to tell you, I'm not the only one that has seen that. I've talked to other pastors, to other preachers, and they rest assured tell me that ours is the same way, Mark. Amen. We're just up for a while and down for a while. Up for a while and down for a while. I'm going to tell you, when you get dry 99.9% of the time, it's going to be your fault.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's my fault when I get dry. Listen, I'm not sold out. See, here's the thing. Y'all get preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and if you seek it out anywhere else, you'll get it. But listen, I have to intentionally seek it out. Mm-hmm. Your preacher needs preaching.
Amen.
I tend to forget that sometimes, that even your preacher needs preaching. But it's got a little dry, preacher. So we're going to go. We're going to load up, and we're going to go down to the First Baptist Church down in Moab. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when they got down there, things wasn't the same as they were back at Bethlehem, Judah.
Right.
I'll guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you people looked different. People dressed different. People sung different. Amen. I mean, they're down in a wicked country down in there. If you'll look at that, and they have got away from God. Now, preacher, we're just going to be gone for just a little while. We're a little dry, but we're going to go for a little while. Let me tell you this. If you're a little dry and you're going to go for a little while, you're going to be a lot dry in just a little bit. They went to sojourn, the Bible said, as we've done seen, and they ended up there for 10 years. They ended up there for 10 years. Listen, as I begin to look at this and begin to consider this when they left, I wonder if they even considered where they would dwell. Who would their friends be? Listen at me now. Who would their friends be if they left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread? Their family is back in Bethlehem. They have no family in Moab. And I'm going to tell you, if you get out of the will of God, you get away from church, you get away from doing what God wants you to do, friend, you have no family out in the world.
That's right.
So here they are. I kind of wondered when they left, did they think about who they would meet on their way, how everything was going to be, how it was just going to be different. Preacher, we're just going to go for a little while. And I know I've preached on these thoughts before. But you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Song of Solomon. Now, I told you they were a little dry and they're going to go for a little while. And the Bible told us in the book of Song of Solomon that it's those little foxes that what? Spoil the vine. It's those little things. Paul told us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that it was a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump.
Amen.
It's that little stuff that gets us in trouble. That little stuff. Well, preacher, I just don't like them people over there. And I'm pretty sure they don't like me. So I'm going to leave. Can I tell you this morning, if you've got aught with your brother or with your sister, you need to deal with it. It's not my responsibility to deal with it. Not yet. If you deal with it and they don't want to deal with it, then it becomes my responsibility. I'll deal with it. And it may not be you that needs to leave, friends. You ever think about that? One of the last things we ever want to do is church somebody, and I do not take that very lightly. But if they ain't going to get right with you and ain't going to get right with God, we're going to have to deal with it. Because that's going to hinder this service.
Amen.
Here, you see. Preacher, my. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we just need to deal with some things. Hey, Paul asked them in Galatians 5, as I said, a little leaven at the whole lump. He asked them two verses before that. You did run well. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. You're doing good now. Why would you want to quit? But Naomi is left of herself, left of her sons, and left of her husband. They left because it was a little dry, and they left for a little while. But now she's got a big problem because there's nobody else with her. Orpha and Ruth do not belong to her. They actually belong down in the land of Moab. Now thank God that Ruth loved her mother-in-law. Boy, I'm glad of that. But you know something? Number two, not only did they think they were right, but being down in Moab out of the will of God robbed her. It robbed her. What are you talking about? It robbed her. Robbed her of her family, didn't it? Her husband died down in the land of Moab. I'm going to tell you, you get out of the will of God, God just may kill you down there in the land of Moab. He may just snuff you out. Go ahead. You don't want to listen. You don't want to come back home. You don't want to do right, okay? Book of 1 John said there is a sin unto death. I do think God does that sometimes. If somebody wants to rebel and rebel, that's why I really have a problem that when people tell me that they've got saved and they ain't darkened the church house door in 30 years, I got a problem with that. I do. Salvation made me different. It really did. It changed me. It made me fall in love with God, made me fall in love with that book. It done everything inside my life, salvation. I just got a real problem with that. Everywhere I find in the Bible, when they met Christ Jesus the Lord, they changed, man. And people tell me, but you know what? We can get out of the will of God. But I will say this, that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that there is a chastening hand of God that's going to come, amen. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and let's look at that. That way you can't argue with me. I think some people want to argue that point.
Amen.
Sometimes. Hebrews 12. Tells us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now he's talking about sonship. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you're a son, he's going to chasten you if you're wrong. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Do you see that? Whereof all are partakers. All are partakers. He said, then are you bastards and not sons. He said, you don't belong to the family of God. He said, you're not birthed into the family of God. If you say you're saved, but you can still sin, and you're not under the chastening hand of God, then you're not saved.
Amen.
That's the way I read it.
Amen.
I would dare say, if you'd let me say this, that Ruth and Naomi, let me back up, that Elimelech and Naomi was probably saved. Not necessarily in the way that we think, but they were part of the family of God. But they've got a big problem. And she's been robbed of her family. All her family's back in Bethlehem, Judah. Those that was closest to her. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you, moms and dads. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful. You may end up getting your kids killed before it's over with.
Right. That's right.
You may... As a buddy of mine, we were at a singing. We went to it years ago. I don't remember if I was old enough to drive. I think I was. And we went to a singing up in Crossville, and he was running from God about preaching. And I had left my Bible sitting on the front row of the church. And so I said, we got to go back. And so he pulled over on the shoulder of the road. As we got ready to turn, he was going to make a U-turn. So as he got ready to make that illegal U-turn, there was a boy. Now why, I don't know. Why he was running without his headlights on, I don't know. But he was running without his headlights on. So as we pulled out, he's looking in his side mirror here and trying to look back. And as we make that pull out, man, I never heard the like of racket, never heard the like of tar squealing and everything else. And slid right up to our car. And so they got out and they talked for a minute or two there, and they got things squared up, and we went back, and boy, that later come out that he was running from the Lord. And I said, you like to got me killed along with you for not being right with God. I'm going to be honest with you. You better be careful where you end up at. It's going to cost you somewhere along the way. I'm talking about it robbed her of her family. But I want you to look in verse 19. As they come back into Bethlehem, Judah, here's what they said. Is this Naomi, she's been gone for 10 years. They look at her and they said, is this Naomi? You know, 10 years should not change us that much in as we get older. I would like to think that I look almost the same as I did 10 years ago. Got a little more white and a little less. Somebody was supposed to say amen right there. Amen. Can I tell you that most of you, I've been here 16 years, a little over 16 years, and most of you, except for you young'uns that have grown up, that you all look the same to me in the past 16 years that it did when you did when I first came to you. He said, now preacher, I don't look the same. Things has changed, you know. I understand that, but if you went back and you look at a picture 10 years ago and you look at a picture now, chances are you're going to look pretty close to what. You understand what I'm saying? Right. We're a little thinner. We're a little whiter. Some of us are a little bigger.
Amen.
You weren't supposed to say amen right there. Man. Oh, man. I'll hold up a card, brother, next time. Naomi comes back in. Naomi comes back into Bethlehem, Judah. Somebody has recognized her. But they said, is this Naomi? 10 years of being out of the will of God. My wife has a first cousin that her and her sister talks about when they were just kids was beautiful. Just beautiful. And I'm not going to say that hard living has beat her with an ugly stick by no means. I don't mean that ugly in itself, but hard living has been hard on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you want to be out of the will of God, you can be out of the will of God, but it's going to rob you physically.
That's right.
It's going to make you older than what you really are. It's going to make you look older than what you really are. Hey, it's going to wire you out. It's going to affect you not only physically. No doubt it's going to affect you spiritually. And it's going to affect you mentally if you let it. So she comes in and it has robbed her of her looks. At one time she had a good looking family. She had a husband and two boys that I believe that she could probably be proud of. But it's robbed her. 10 years down in the land of Moab has robbed her of that. It's robbed her of her looks. You say, why do you say, hey, listen, the word Naomi means pleasant and it means beautiful. I believe she was probably beautiful. And she ends up down in the land of Moab. And you know what it's done? It's robbed her of her beauty. Sin will do that to you, ladies. It'll rob you of your beauty. It robbed her of her joy and of her happiness. She buried a husband down in the land of Moab. She buried two boys down in the land of Moab. She's got three graves down there. She's had three funerals in 10 years. All right, it's understandable if she might have to bury her husband. We have to do that. Husbands bury wives and wives bury husbands. And children bury parents. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's not natural for parents to bury children. I'm not saying that it don't happen. And I'm not saying that it ain't in the will of God. And I'm not saying that God don't understand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, it's just not natural.
Amen.
It's not natural. My grandmother said that the hardest thing that it was for her to have done or for her to do was to have buried her oldest child, Jackie, my uncle, my mama's oldest brother. He had a heart attack. And he had heart problems. And if you ask her out of burying my grandfather and burying him, burying Jackie was the hardest thing that she ever done. That ain't natural. And you know what? Because she's down in the land of Moab, Elimelech, she's already put him in the ground, and two more is on the way. And she ends up burying Chilion and Mahlon and ends up putting them in the grave. Imagine how sad she was. Now I want you to look at what she said. Now I'm talking about living out of the will of God. I'm talking about being out of the will of God. They thought they were right when they left. They thought they were doing what they needed to do. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. When you see that happening to somebody, you probably ought to warn them. You might ought to say, hey, you might want to think about this again before you bail out on the church. Now, preacher, we're just going to go over here and go to church. Man, they're having such great services and great things. Can I tell you something? Churches that have great services and such great things, and we've been there, and hopefully we'll be there again, where, man, it's just where the Lord just comes by and visits every time. You said, the Lord, don't. That ain't what I'm saying. Let me see if I can phrase this. I like it when there's a spirit of revival in the church. I do like that. When we're running right on top as high as we can get. Amen. I like that. But as I told you, it don't stay that way. And can I tell you that churches that are doing that and you go over there for that, can I tell you they're filled with people just like you that's got same problems just like you. And you know what? They're probably going to be down again too. What are you going to do then? You think this was the first famine that Bethlehem Judah had ever experienced? Might have been the first famine that they had ever experienced, but I doubt it was the first famine that Bethlehem Judah had ever experienced. I don't know how I got there, but ain't good. What did it rob her of? It robbed her of her family. I believe she probably had a beautiful family, but they end up down in Moab. God robbed her of that because she wasn't living right. Took her a husband and two sons. God robbed her of her beauty because of her hard living. There's no doubt of that. But I want you to look, it robbed her of her joy and of her happiness. She comes back in and she says, don't call me. Call me not Naomi. Why? Naomi means pleasant and beautiful. She says, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara. What does Mara mean? It means bitter. For the Almighty. Now, not that I hit some bad luck. Not that we had a bad time down in the land of Moab. Not that things didn't go our way. Not that I had to bury three down in the land of Moab. None of those things were said. She said, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Wonder how long it took for her to lose her joy and her happiness. I kind of think within the first 6 months of being down in the land of Moab, they might have been scratching their head wondering why they'd done what they'd done. I don't know that. I'm just saying. But I do know this. Sorrow did come when she buried her husband. And God began to deal with her. And she became bitter because of him dealing with her. But number three, I want you, and let me say this. If you don't want to be right with God, you don't have to be right with God, but he's going to rob you. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I park here for just a second? As my preacher used to say, it's hard enough to have joy and happiness some days living for God.
Right.
Listen. If let me see how I can get here with. If I ain't careful, I'll talk myself into being miserable. You understand what I'm saying? I was talking to a preacher the other day. As a matter of fact, it was Brother Larry Seals. And we were having the same discussion. And he says, if you ain't careful, you'll see the devil behind every bush, won't you? I said, that's right, you will. And you know what? Every time we turn around, we'll be talking ourselves into being miserable. And it's hard enough to have joy and happiness. And listen, if we would just trust God, as we've seen this morning in the Sunday school lesson, we'd have all kinds of joy and happiness. We ought to be the happiest people in the whole world.
Right.
Amen. We're saved. We're sealed. Listen, we're kept by the power of God. And he's going to get us to heaven one day. We ought to be the happiest people in the whole world. But here she is, miserable. I want you to look at her return. She's been robbed. She thought she was right. But look at her return in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That's where this whole message started at when I started studying it. They thought they were empty when they left. Did they not leave for a famine? Is that not why they left? They thought they were empty when they left. And Naomi comes back and she says, look, I left full, but I come back home. It took her 10 years. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't know how long it really took her to realize that when they left, she was full. I don't know how long it took. But I do know this, it took 10 years to get back home. I know that. And I kind of thank God it had a little grace and had a little mercy on her because she was the one, she was probably just in tow, if you want to know the truth. I bet Elimelech was the one that said, let's go down there. And no doubt Chilion and Mahlon, they said, let's stay because we've got wives down here. Again, I can't prove all that. I'm just saying. I thank God had been gracious to her. And she comes back, and you know one of the first things she had to do? She had to see her shape that she was in. But she had to admit that God was right. She said, I left full, but he brought me home again empty. Look, God was right all the time. I should have stayed here. There is one thing that I do not get. I look at that, and me and my wife, we have this discussion. And it's not gossip between me and her, but I can almost watch certain people and watch them get ready to make mistakes. Now, why is it we can't see us fixing to make mistakes? I don't know. But we can look at each other, and I can see somebody fixing to make a mistake. And I'll tell my wife, I'll say, they're fixing to mess up right here. This is fixing to get them right here. I wonder if anybody told them, don't go down land of Moab. He said, well, preacher, it's awful hard to tell somebody that they're fixing to mess up. They can tell you it ain't none of your business. They can. And I don't like people telling me what to do. Now, my business is my business. Now, I really don't like people telling me what to do. But if I'm about to mess up, please tell me, you're about to mess up. I may want to punch you in the mouth, but at least you told me. But she had to come back, and she had to admit, man, we were full when we left, but now I'm empty. She said in verse 13, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 20, she said, he's dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21, he has testified against me and afflicted me. If you want to leave the house of bread, you can always help yourself. You can help yourself. But you know what? If you're saved, God ain't going to let you live down in Moab too long. He ain't going to let you do it. He won't. He'll come knocking.
Amen.
You know one thing that I thought of? They could have went back to Bethlehem, Judah anytime they wanted to. They could have went back home. Home was always there. Just like the prodigal son, home was always there. Home. Could always go home. Home. Amen. Listen, that is the great thing about home. It's always there. You can always go home. But she wasted 10 years. 10 years. But they could have avoided every bit of it. You say, well, her husband might have died and her two children might have died anyway, preacher. Might have. But she'd have been where God wanted them to be at. She had to face that. She had to face that by herself. Think about this for just a second. Had it not been for Ruth that loved her, I believe that's, I mean, think about it. When she buried that last child and put him in the grave, and put him in the grave, she's standing there with no family. She's standing there with no family. None. Now, all she had to do was stay in the land of Moab, or stay in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and everything would have been a lot better They had a rough 10 years that could have been avoided. Can I tell you, you can avoid the chastening hand of God. You can avoid all. I'm not going to say bad times won't come, because we know that man is born a woman is a few days in full trouble. We understand that. But at least you'd be in the will of God when you had to face them. And some things won't come because you are in the will of God. Let's bow our heads this morning as we get a verse of invitation. Maybe you're thinking about leaving God. Maybe you're out of the will of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm okay. I'm all right. No, you're not. No, they thought they were right. But, you know, the Bible said that there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need to get right with God this morning. God will snatch things away from you. Don't scare me, preacher. Don't be. Hey, listen, go back and look. She buried her sons and her husband down in the land of Moab, in a land where they had no business being. What are you going to have to bury? Robbed her of her beauty. Robbed her of her peace and joy. Every morning she had to wake up and think about, reckon what's going to happen today. Far away from God, far away from God's people and God's house. Go ahead and start playing, Brother Lewis, when you get ready. That may be where you're at right now. So, well, preacher, I'm sitting in church. Yeah, but you're thinking. You're thinking. It ain't right. And the very first place that you start think that you decide that you're going to leave God is in your mind. It'll be better over here, better over there. No, it won't. You're just swapping a little problem for bigger ones. If they'd have just stayed where they're at, yeah, they might have had a famine. God always takes care of His people. But they bailed out. Went to Moab. And 10 years later, come back and was well worse for it than when they ever left. Something between you and God this morning. Something hindering your relationship with the Lord. Hey, dear friend, maybe you don't know Him today. Maybe you need to come and get saved. Very first thing I talked about before I started preaching, you need to trust Him. You need to come to know Him. Hey, listen to me, dear saved person. Don't end up down the land of Moab. You may have good intentions, and it may be for just a little while, but it's going to get you if you ain't careful. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll help during this invitation. I've not preached anything that these folk didn't already know, probably. But Lord, I pray that it works on their heart, that the Holy Spirit has dealt with them. And Lord, I pray if somebody needs to come and do business with You this morning as they gather up around this altar, that You'd deal with them and them with You. And encourage folk this morning. I pray it has been an encouragement to people to remain faithful and remain true, that yes, time gets hard and things don't always go like we want, but Lord, You're always faithful to Your people. And You'll always be here for us. Would You help during this invitation save somebody that might be here lost this morning? And I pray that You'd help for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen.